headlines this hour, the U.S. says it is troubled by Afghan President Hamid Karzai's comments that foreigners rigged last year's elections. Hamas calls for international intervention to prevent another Israeli war on Gaza. And also this hour, Acting President Goodluck Jonathan of Nigeria is set to swear in 38 ministers to his new cabinet.
It is 2200 GMT and 2:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us. Well, the United States has expressed deep concern over Afghan President Hamid Karzai's recent remarks on foreign involvement in a vote rigging in Afghanistan's elections last year. State Department spokesman Philip J. Crowley says Karzai's comments are preposterous. Also earlier today, the U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan, Carl Eikenberry, met with Karzai to receive more explanations on the president's statements. However, American officials say the war-torn country's president has spoken with U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, saying he is surprised at the consequent uproar. Clinton has also encouraged Karzai to move forward instead of living in the past.
Well, the main political rival of Afghan President Hamid Karzai has accused him of undermining the battle against the Taliban. This a day after Karzai accused foreigners of what he called widespread fraud during last year's presidential election.
Betrayal of Afghanistan's national interest. This is how Abdullah Abdullah, a former foreign minister and presidential candidate, describes Karzai's accusations against the West. Abdullah accuses Karzai of serving the purpose of the Taliban and other enemies of Afghanistan.
It's a treason to the national interest. If the resistance against the Taliban or the efforts against the Taliban is illegitimate, if it is not national resistance, why is he leading it? Why is he there?
In a speech to election authorities on Thursday, Karzai accused Western embassies and United Nations officials of rigging election results and conspiring to weaken the Afghan government.
There was widespread fraud in the presidential and provincial election. This wasn't fraud by Afghans, but by the foreigners. The votes of the Afghan nation were in the control of an embassy.
Last year's elections were marred by fraud allegations mostly leveled against President Karzai. He won the poll after his rival withdrew from the race in the second round. Many say Karzai's outburst was provoked by Parliament's rejection of a decree giving him the power to appoint all five members of the Electoral Complaints Commission. He appears to want Afghans to control the upcoming parliamentary elections in September, a goal that could lead to further disagreement with the West.
Beneath that obvious lie, there is a more fundamental reality that is worth paying attention to, and that is that the gap between Karzai and the NATO countries, the NATO allies of Afghanistan, is widening all the time. I think that there are several reasons why President Karzai feels that he really is fundamentally at odds with the United States and the NATO countries.
Hamas has called for international intervention to prevent Israel's military escalation in the Gaza Strip.
We in the Palestinian government condemn this escalation and call on our Arab brothers in particular and the international community in general to intervene in order to stop targeting our people and the escalation against them everywhere, particularly in the Gaza Strip.
Well, the comments come after Israel threatened to carry out another large-scale military operation against Gaza in the near future. Tel Aviv says the offensive is in response to rockets from Gaza, but the movement has largely refrained from such attacks for many months.
In the most serious Israeli attack on Gaza since the 2022 war, Israeli warplanes carried out a series of overnight strikes on different targets across the strip on the early hours of Friday. Four of the strikes took place near the town of Khan Yunis, where two Israeli soldiers were killed in clashes with Palestinian activists last week. According to medical sources, three children were hurt by a flying debris when a missile hit a cheese factory in western Gaza City, totally destroying the factory and causing damage to surrounding residential houses.
As you see here, everything was destroyed completely. We didn't find any equipment. We didn't find any kind of the productions. For targeting this facility, I don't know. It is a civilian facility. It is a food factory.
The Israeli military claimed that Friday's air raids had targeted what it called weapons manufacturing and storage facilities. But witnesses and Hamas officials said the raids targeted metal workshops, farms, and a cheese factory. Police stations and training facilities were among other targets. Hours after the strikes, the Israeli Deputy Prime Minister Sylvan Shalom warned that Tel Aviv would soon launch another large-scale military operation in Gaza.
Well, it seems to me that the conflict between Hamas and Israel is a matter of time. There will be sometime a war between Hamas and Israel. There will be war again on the Gaza Strip to eradicate Hamas and its government from the Gaza Strip. But when that happens is just a matter of time, and that depends on Israeli basically tactics.
Israeli aircraft dropped leaflets over parts of Gaza on Thursday, warning residents of retaliation for last Friday's killings of the soldiers in Khan Yunis. They were the first Israeli soldiers to be killed in hostile fire in Gaza in over a year.
For many people here, these strikes were expected after two Israeli soldiers were killed in clashes with Palestinian fighters last week. But there is growing anxiety among people that it is only a matter of time before Israel wages another massive offensive on the Strip. Yusuf Al-Hilo, Press TV, Gaza.
Well, Washington says military action by Israel will not solve the Middle East conflict. U.S. State Department spokesman Philip J. Crowley made the remark during a press conference after Israeli warplanes struck the Gaza Strip on Friday. Crowley added that Israel and the Palestinian Authority need to engage in direct negotiations. He said Washington's message to the Israelis and Palestinians is to get the proximity talks going, focus on the substance, move to direct negotiations, and ultimately arrive at a settlement that ends the conflict once and for all. Earlier, both France and Britain condemned Israel's attack on targets in the Gaza Strip.
U.S. President Barack Obama claims that Iran seeks to obtain nuclear weapons. In a televised interview, Obama said all the evidence indicate that Tehran is trying to get the capacity to develop nuclear weapons. He said with such a capacity, Iran could destabilize the Middle East and trigger an arms race in the region. Obama added that Tehran should be further pressurized over its nuclear program. Iran is a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty and has consistently asserted that its nuclear activities are of a peaceful nature.
Well, Iran's top nuclear negotiator, Saeed Jalili, has called for dialogue without threat of sanctions over Tehran's nuclear energy program. This as the U.S. has threatened to ratchet up pressure on the Islamic Republic. Jalili, who has been on a visit to China, says what the world needs now is dialogue and not the policies of countries which are seeking pressure.
Discussions surrounding Iran's nuclear program topped the agenda on Friday as Iran's top nuclear negotiator, Saeed Jalili, began the day by meeting with the head of the foreign ministry's think tank, Shuxing. Other officials and researchers of the China Institute of International Studies had the opportunity to discuss Iran's nuclear program in depth. Conversations managed to stay clear from the thorny issue of potential sanctions and focused on the process of development. Later, he met with Wang Jiarui, minister of the International Liaison Department of the CPC, or Communist Party of China. On Thursday, he met with Foreign Minister Yang Jiechi and State Councilor of Foreign Affairs Dai Bingguo. At an afternoon press conference, journalists were eager to get Jalili's thoughts on the Chinese government's stance regarding Iran's sanctions.
What is needed now in the international community is dialogue, and that dialogue should be based on logic. The global community now does not accept those countries who have wrong policies and want to use pressure. We advise those countries to return to the negotiating table and welcome the negotiations over the issues that the whole international community is concerned about. These issues should be resolved by the correct means instead of imposing pressure on other countries. It is an irrational approach to have negotiations and pressure simultaneously.
China has veto power in the UN Security Council, and its support would be key to passing a resolution against Iran. Calling U.S. and its allies' claim that its nuclear program baseless, Tehran stresses that it is for peaceful purposes.
Experts say that Mr. Saeed Jalili was not in Beijing to lobby against a new round of tough sanctions on Iran. And despite media speculation, China has not said that it will back sanctions. Rather, it has urged flexibility in solving the issue.
A foreign ministry spokesman on Thursday said that Beijing was concerned about the current situation, but repeated the country's longtime stance of wanting the dispute settled through negotiations. Former diplomat to Tehran, Guo Xiangang, says Jalili's visit isn't going to change anything.
It is impossible to solve the Iranian nuclear issue with just one visit. I think Jalili will allow the Chinese to know what is on Iran's mind and how Iran plans on cooperating with the international community. I'm afraid resolution on this matter will require much more closer cooperation. Therefore, it still has a long way to go.
Jalili will leave China on Sunday after a day of sightseeing on Saturday. Kathleen Chang, Press TV, Beijing.
Well, meanwhile, Turkey has reiterated that it does not favor imposing sanctions on Iran over its nuclear energy program. Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan has confirmed he would attend an international nuclear summit in Washington on April the 12th and 13th. Washington is seeking to persuade Turkey to support a fourth round of sanctions against Iran. But Erdogan has spoken against the use of sanctions and insists on diplomatic efforts instead. Regarding Ankara's recent row with Washington, Erdogan said his country is sending back its ambassador to the United States. Last month, Turkey recalled its ambassador to protest against a U.S. congressional committee labeling as genocide the World War I massacre of Armenians. The USA Department has welcomed Erdogan's decision to return the ambassador.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. The U.S. says it is troubled by Afghan President Hamid Karzai's comments that foreigners rigged last year's elections. Hamas calls for international intervention to prevent another Israeli war on Gaza. And acting President Goodluck Jonathan of Nigeria is set to swear in 38 ministers to his new cabinet.